What an amazing time we are in. The spring bulbs in my next door neighbor's yard have popped this week, just popped. The birds are everywhere with songs and calls I haven't heard for long months, and the gardeners are spreading their mulch. Even while we humans are trying to recover from 2 years of isolation and uncertainty and survive the realities of division and climate change and war, the earth breathes forth life, as she does every year at this time. And we see it in every bud, in every flower, in every new bit of green. Such abundance in the spring awakening. The signs of the fertility of the earth and our creatures are all around us, and this is what many pagans celebrate in Beltane circles today, as beauty is both acknowledged and created, with exuberant and joyful songs and dances and connections, new and old. And as the beauty and fertility around us are celebrated, a corresponding fertility within is invited. This is the time to encourage our creativity to awaken, to inspire new ideas and fresh ways of thinking in ourselves and each other. Time to invite hope back in. As we are reminded by the earth itself of the continual cycles of hibernation and reawakening, we have a chance to remind ourselves that we too can reawaken. And with that reawakening might come some pleasure, as the poem you just heard calls us to find. Pleasure is such an important thing for us humans. You have heard me talk about justice work as being about making sure people don't just survive, but thrive. And access to pleasure is one of the parts of thriving. Pleasure is also an important part of doing the work to allow us all to thrive. Adrian Marie Brown, a queer Black writer and movement worker, coined this term, pleasure activism, which means, she says, making justice and liberation the most pleasurable experiences we can have, and learning that pleasure gets lost under the weight of oppression, and it is liberatory work to reclaim it. One of the ways, she continues, that we start doing the work of reclaiming our full selves, our whole liberated free selves, is by reclaiming our access to pleasure. So there are two parts to this pleasure activism, as I hear it, working intentionally to make more activism and organizing work as pleasurable as it can be for us. And that means doing it together with joy, with singing, with food, right? And it means advocating for historically marginalized and disenfranchised folks to reclaim pleasure in their daily lives. Adrian says we need to stay in visceral touch with what brings us aliveness, contentment, and joy. And as I said a moment ago, this is the perfect time in the wheel of the year to come back to that connection. The poem that Eva read for us, though it comes from a different century and was written by a Black man, it says the same thing that this queer Black woman is saying. The poem is said to be a prayer for peace. When you Google the name of the poem and what does it mean, you get that he's asking for peace. Peace around us, so that we might have time and energy to take pleasure in the beauty around us. This is also about access, about accessing pleasure. That's really hard right now, right? Still? For a lot more of us than it was during the normal state of the world. We also know, though, that it's been really hard or impossible for so many people for such a long time in that once normal world who know little more than a cycle of work and sleep to bring in enough money to survive, who work under conditions that we can't imagine, that I can't imagine. I've had the privilege most of my life to have had enough resources to live comfortably enough to let me notice the beauty around me and to nurture the beauty within me and in my relationships, to access pleasure. I've had enough money to minimize worrying about eating and housing. I've had jobs that were fulfilling to me and in which my work was appreciated and mattered. I've had relative peace and stable environmental conditions in my little part of the world. Doesn't mean my life has been easy, just that I've had the basics covered for most of it, that I've had access to beauty and the pleasure it can bring. Poverty, war, climate catastrophe, they haven't touched me personally. And I've had the benefit of the rights won by suffragettes and LGBTQIA+ activists and workers in the labor movement, which is another thing to acknowledge and celebrate today, right? Which Eva reminded us of at our worship team emergence meeting for the topic for today. So on May Day, 1886, around 350,000 workers staged a nationwide work stoppage to demand the adoption of a standard 8-hour workday. There were strikes in Chicago, Illinois, New York City, Detroit, Michigan, and Cincinnati, Ohio. And those strikes were somewhat successful in their goal and more successful in terms of bringing awareness to worker conditions. And May Day continues to be a time of rallying for workers' rights in the US and internationally. May Day is also just a few weeks after the birthday of Rose Schneiderman in 1882. The labor orator, feminist, socialist, and president of the Women's Trade Union League who wrote these words, "What the woman who labors wants is the right to live, not simply exist. The right to life as the rich woman has the right to life, and the sun and music and art. You have nothing that the humblest worker has not a right to have also. The worker must have bread, but she must have roses too. Help, you women of privilege, give her the ballot to fight with." That phrase, bread and roses, became the center of a poem written by James Oppenheim in 1911, and then, of course, the slogan for the January to March 1912 strike by the women workers at the Everett Mill in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Those women, joined by thousands of other workers, faced winter weather and police officers with billy clubs to protest a 32-cent weekly pay cut from an average of a weekly wage of $8.76, proportionally pretty darn high, and eventually win a 15% wage hike, an increase in overtime compensation, and a promise not to retaliate against strikers. And by the end of that March, 275,000 New England textile workers received similar raises, and other industries followed suit. This is pleasure activism used a century ago. One of the bazillion reasons, as Eva said, to pay people fairly is to give them access to finding beauty in their life. And the struggle toward this continues today. Those are conditions outside of us, right, that offer or prevent access to beauty. The conditions within us also need to be open for us to find pleasure in beauty. We have been closed for so long. That's what Beltane is about celebrating what's awakening around us together so we might help each other open up to what's awakening within us. It's also about fertility, yes, about commitments. Beltane was traditionally a time when couples would jump a bonfire to make another year of commitment to each other. Time of celebration and promise making. And so I want to invite you now to stop listening to me, to take a breath, to relax a little into your seat. To feel earth under your feet. To feel air moving in and out of your lungs. To know that fire and water are in the air around us. And just breathe. Listen to the small sounds around you. And know you are not alone. In this space that you've centered yourself now, I invite you to think about where you've seen beauty this past week. Call that beautiful thing to your mind. Let it into your heart. What did that feel like to see it again, to notice it the first time, to let it in? What do you need to be able to notice beauty around you? What do you need to be able to share the beauty within you? What would you like to offer to someone else toward allowing them access to beauty? Here is what I am hoping for grows and becomes more fertile for us this spring as we begin to come back together in new ways, with new people, with involvement in different ways to create a new normal, that we grow between us a new creativity, a new momentum, and the possibility of becoming open again. Not just our building's doors, but in the spaces that live between us. That we again learn to be sustained by the pleasure that we get from each other's company as we worship and meet and work toward access to beauty, bread and roses for all people. That when new folks walk in the door, they get to feel that creative energy. I would love to talk with anyone about what you need to make that happen. May it be so, and may we be so.